Well, are we on the eve of destruction? You never know. Maybe it's time to pack up and move somewhere. How about going off the grid? Former Minnesota governor and wrestler Jesse Ventura, regular guest here on Coast to Coast, when he's in Mexico, lives off the grid. In a moment, Gary Collins joins us with his work going off the grid, and we're going to get some information that you can use when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, going off the grid. Gary Collins, raised in the high desert at the basin of the Sierra Nevada mountain range in a rural part of California, living now in a remote area off the grid in northeast Washington state. Gary has a diverse background that includes military intelligence, being a federal government special agent, entrepreneur, author, and college professor. He has been involved in organized sports, nutrition, fitness for almost 4 decades. He's also an active follower and teacher of life simplicity to include the self-reliant, survivalist, off-the-grid lifestyle. And here he is, first-time guest on Coast to Coast. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, George. Big fan.
Likewise, my friend. Great book, by the way,
Oh,
Going Off
thank
the
you.
Grid. I want to talk about your background in a second, the
Sure.
federal government special agent stuff. But what did you do? One day you just picked up and left and went off the grid?
No, not quite that. It was very well planned, I guess the best way to put it. Before all this became more mainstream, very popular, I started this probably 10 years ago. While I was still in the government, I hatched the plan. And I grew up very rural, very small town, 2,000 people or less. And then the town I lived in was 100 people or less. I commuted to the other small town to go to school. So living remotely wasn't new to me as a kid. And obviously, going to the government, moving all over the country every couple years, living in big cities. At the end, when my career kind of wound down, I just was pretty burned out of cities and just kind of traveling around, fell in love with the outdoors again and wanted to get away, basically. So I just kind of started looking for land, but it was during the big housing boom, so land was
Sure,
very
expensive.
expensive. Yeah. So I had to put it off a couple years and a couple life events happened and kicked it into overdrive and went out and found 20 acres and started the project about
What was
5 years ago.
there anything you saw about world events that may have scared you or persuaded you to do this?
Yeah, it was a lot of just the instability of the world in general, and a few things, knowing life is short, especially in the business I was in, casualties of people around you is not uncommon. So it gives you a lot of time to think about, hey, my time here could end at any time.
Yeah, well, that's true. What kind of special agent were you? ATF? What did you do?
I started out in a U.S. State Department Diplomatic Security Service.
Aha.
So that was, if anyone knows anything about that, there was a bunch of documentaries done when I first got in on Discovery, TLC on our agency, and it's probably the highest speed. Not saying that just because I was in it in the federal government that no one's heard of. It's
Lot of embassy work.
a lot of embassy work protection, and we were doing a lot of, this was prior 9/11. We were doing a lot of beginning of terrorism investigations. There's a lot of stuff that went on that the special shows on history and everything, they don't have it right. Let's just put it that way. I was involved in some of that stuff, and you notice our agency's never mentioned.
And sounds like you got out of it. You're not doing it anymore.
No, I got out in, oh gosh, 7 years ago now, and that was the first, and then I went to the U.S. Department of Health, went totally different direction, went in white collar in U.S. Department of Health Human Services, OIG, which was totally different investigations into a lot of health care fraud, Medicaid, Medicare.
Right. Oh, it's rampant, isn't it?
Oh, people have no idea. It opened my eyes, and not knowing the organized crime syndicates that are actually running high-level health care fraud schemes. The Russian mafia, the Mexican mafia, I mean, Nigerians, I mean, they're some of the biggest criminal enterprises in the world have their hands so deep into our healthcare system as far as fraud. It's unbelievable. I would say at one point I estimated half of what we spend on healthcare is waste and fraud.
That much?
Oh, easily.
Jeez.
It is ridiculous. I mean, it's hard to explain all of it, but And then I went there to the FDA, which the FDA is a part of HHS. It's just another division, a smaller agency underneath, just like the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
And that was investigating food and drugs. And by the time I got with government, I had such a wide gamut of corruption and crime and terrorism and everything else involved. I think I've lost all sense of humanity at that point. I just, all faith in humanity.
Did you get burned out? Why'd you leave that area?
I was toast. Yeah, spent, when I left, I'd been in the government half my life.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was, it had run its course. And anyone who's been in, I know you've had guests who have been in the government too, it's a hard thing to say, but you kind of lose yourself. You're not the same person.
Are you glad you're out of it now at this
Absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely. I wouldn't take it back for anything because it made me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But the stress levels involved and, you know, the detachment and, you know, it's the whole everyone's an a-hole test. You know, you just look at all the negative. I would meet someone new and I'd instantly analyze them to figure out what they were up to. It was horrible.
Do you have any friends still there?
You know, that's another thing. And I just read a book where a guy talked about the same thing. It's weird. Once you leave, and I saw people retire, you stay in touch with them for maybe a month or two, and then you're just out of sight, out of mind.
You're gone. Yeah.
It is the most transient kind of job lifestyle I've ever been in. When you're gone, you're gone. And it literally everyone forgets about you. And that's it. I have a few good friends that I talk to here and there. But yeah, you go from day to day spending a great deal of your time with these people to boom, nothing, gone.
So when you talk about off the grid, going off the grid, which is your latest book, and you've written several other books, by the way, haven't you?
I have. I started my new one today.
Now, what's this one going to be on?
Well, I actually have another one written, but I have to stick this one in to make it the chain make sense. This one's going to be on travel trailer living and more mobile lifestyle. Cause,
you like in an RV?
Yeah, because what people, a lot of my followers, you watch me, they've watched my whole evolution. It's been quite a ride. I've lived in a travel trailer for over 4 years now. And
you travel all over the place?
I do. I spend 7 months up at the off-the-grid property. I've been, and anyone knows this too, you're always building. It never ends. You're always working on something. And it's because it's a slow process. Not only is it a more difficult project, but there's no financing. And that's something we can get into. I have a whole chapter on that in the book.
How big is the RV?
The RV, I started out with an 18-footer, which was tiny.
That is small.
But I sold my house, got rid of a lot of stuff, went into a 500-square-foot place in the sticks in San Diego, and then went from that to the travel trailer. So I went through this whole kind of progression. And then I went to a 22-footer, and now I own a 24-footer.
That's pretty good size.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's built for outdoors. It's more built for more harsher climates.
Could you live in the wintertime in that thing?
Absolutely. That's what it's made for. I learned my lessons. My first one was decent. The second one was more of a person who camps a couple times a year. So it was cold in the winter and it was hot in the winter. And I took it back and the place I bought it from, they're really nice. And they're all, hey, that is not the one for you. And they gave me a really good deal on the one that, because they knew I was writing a book and everything. They're all, hey, just get the right one.
What kind of amenities do these RVs have?
Believe it or not today, and you know, it's got that stigma of kind of the poor white trash kind of thing. You just live in a beat up trailer. And
Cousin Eddie.
Exactly. And people today, they are nice. They are nicer than most homes. They have every amenity you need. Now, is it downsized? Absolutely. It's smaller. But I have a queen bed in mine. I put a memory foam mattress in there. I have two TVs, a bathroom, full kitchen. You know, it's.
Do you live alone? If I'm prying, don't tell
me. Oh, God, no. George, you can't offend me. No, I live alone. Never been married. A lot of the stresses of the government had a lot to do with that. It's just me and my dog. So it makes it.
So the RV works for you?
But the thing is, I travel around and I'm around a lot of these groups, and people always say, oh, you did it. You can do that. You're single. You got more money and time and this and that. And I go, you'd be shocked. I went, I know full-blown families that are doing the exact same thing, four kids and like three dogs, and they're living in a travel trailer. They're doing exactly what I'm doing.
It sounds like you like doing this.
I the one regret I have in life is I didn't do it earlier. I enjoy it.
Do you have TV, radio in there?
Yep, sure do.
Satellite probably, I guess.
Yeah, right? And I described that you can basically live just how you've always lived. It's just you're mobile. And the freedom involved in it, that with the last house, I got caught with my house in Southern California in that housing bubble. And it was misery. And I did everything right. You know, I put 20% down. I did everything. And, you know, I went, golly, you know, this house is like an anchor now.
And expensive.
It's super expensive. And, you know, buying $500,000 bought you nothing in that time.
But as we get into going off the grid, Gary, mm-hmm. not everybody can just pick up and go.
Yep. And that's what I talk about. It's something you have to dabble with a little bit. And I wrote a chapter in there explaining that, because that's a question I get right away. Well, how do you start? And I go, I started by vacationing and going to the places I thought I could make it work, and traveled around, and I was lucky in the government. I traveled a lot and ended up in Northeast Washington working a case out of Spokane, and that's why I fell in love with that area. And I started exploring, so I started going up there more and more and looking around, and I went, you know, let me just look and see if I can find something that's affordable and works. And that's what I did. So it wasn't willy-nilly. This is a multi-year progress of even getting the land and then starting.
I've got a friend of mine. He was a banker in St. Louis. He sold his house. He took his equity. He bought an RV. He quit his bank job. He had about $1 million in the bank. He's been saving every dime he made over the years. And he got in his RV, and all he does now, He checks in like that movie Radio Flyer. Every once in a while you hear from him. He goes around the country, and he's grown a beard. I mean, this was the most conservative guy, Gary, you could ever imagine. He's grown a beard. His hair's down to his shoulders, and that's what he wants. He's got $1 million in the bank, and, you know, he gets income coming in, and he just, you know, he paid cash for his RV. He doesn't have any bills, and off he goes.
And that's what I teach, too, is that's what I did. I transitioned to the travel trailer first, you know, because that gives you a pretty good idea of what living off the grid is going to entail, because you could take a trailer out and go dry camp.
Have you had any scary or rough situations where somebody tried to break in or anything like that?
This is even a more amazing part of this. I have been safer in this mobile an off-the-grid lifestyle than I ever have been before.
Really?
Yes, shockingly. Don't get me wrong, there's some goofy people out there.
Oh, of course.
And everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that most people stay to themselves because everyone wants the same thing most of the time. And the RV parks I go to, in the beginning I was in a fairly crowded one, but now I've learned to take the time, do your research, and find an RV park a little bit off the beaten path.
Are they quiet?
Oh, they're incredibly quiet. Far quieter than any neighborhood I've lived in. That's what I mean.
You don't have some guy next to you with a boombox or anything like that?
No, because people won't put up with it.
They school themselves, I guess, right?
Well, not only that, but the parks are pretty strict. A lot of them are. I mean, they'll even inspect your travel trailer. Some of the ones I've been in, you can't have one older than 2008.
Really?
Yeah, your RV or travel trailer.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're trying to avoid the kind of, you know, run-down RV park.
Uncle Eddie stigma
with
again.
People with tarps over the, you know, their travel trailer motorhome and, you know, got cars on bricks out front. And they're trying to avoid all that. Don't get me wrong. I grew up that way.
I got a little money buried in my desert here, Clark. Let's go get it.
Well, yeah, and that's what I mean, too. It's just everyone's very respectful. Matter of fact, where I'm at right now, you don't hear a peep after 9 o'clock at night.
Really?
Yeah, and there's kids there, pets. I think almost everyone has a pet. and quite a few kids, but the park's only like a third full.
How do you decide where you're going and how long you're staying?
Well, for me, since I've been building and running my business and doing everything, I've had been a little more structured than I would like to be. I go up there, like I said, about 7 months, spend all my money, do all the work I can on the property.
Write your books?
Lately I have not. When I go up there, that's the plan. That is where I plan to write. But unfortunately, I'm so busy with the property, the business kind of takes goes on the back end.
A little dive for a while.
It does, and then I kind of recover and come back, and then I start writing again and planning for the next year and saving. So I come down to Southern California, well, I should say kind of Central California area, to where my family lives, and I just kind of hang out there.
You could just about go anywhere.
I can go anywhere I want anytime. I can pull up tomorrow, have everything packed in an hour and be on the road.
I mean, there are RV parks everywhere, right?
Everywhere. And see, I didn't know that either. Before I started doing this, I never saw them.
Do you have to be in an RV park? I mean, what happens if you pull into a Walmart parking lot in the back and just stay there? I mean, would they chase you out?
Nope. I've never heard of a Walmart chasing anyone out. I'm a big fan of rest stops because they're populated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking the seedy ones, you know, the trucker dive, not that, but a normal rest stop. And I've done this for, gosh, a large part of my life. I've slept in my car and traveled around a lot of my life. I'm an adventure guy. Anytime I moved, I drove. I drove cross country 3 times moving in the government. And I just would stop along the way and go on little adventures. But rest stops are real easy because if you have your trailer, they have the larger spots for the big rigs. So you just run, you park in a different section than the people with cars. You go with the big rigs and you go in there, and I just hook up my generator. I have a small little generator I bought this year, and I run all my power through it, and I basically just sleep in my own bed, eat my own food, get my cup of coffee in the morning, and hit the road.
Now, when you say going off the grid, give me your definition of that.
Yeah, it's real tricky because with all the shows they're showing, it's gotten real popular. Going off the grid is simply having no access or tied to public utilities. So you have your own septic system, you have your own well, you produce your own power.
You're not reliant on anybody.
No, you're 100% run everything. You're your own power company. I use a Wi-Fi wireless kind of internet hotspot through Verizon that I've used for several years now. And there's other companies, but you know, you can use I've used satellite internet here and there. I use satellite TV.
Can you still survive if something happens to the electrical grid that we have? I mean, sometimes you do plug in and things like that, I'm sure.
No.
You don't?
No. Well, with the travel trailer, yes.
At
my property and my house, no. I mean, that's all completely off-grid. There's no utilities at all.
Nothing.
I have a solar system, and it's high-tech now. Don't get me wrong. I had to learn all this stuff.
Was it expensive?
It's not as bad as you would think. The price has come down. I think my entire solar system with, you know, the battery backup, installation. I did some of the installation, but I'm no dummy. I had an electrician because stuff's expensive. You don't want to ruin it. It was about, I want to say, between $14,000 and $15,000 for everything.
No, that's not bad. And you get that fast just in utility cost savings.
Well, that's the thing, too, is I got to write it off so that there was still the write-off for the solar panels and the system. So it didn't technically even cost the $14,000-$15,000 because, you know, you get your money back on some of it. And yeah, it's crazy because if you were to go in my house off the grid, you would not literally realize you're off the grid. I have everything. I have normal.
What's it look like? We're going to take a break, but kind of describe for us when we come back, Gary, what it looks like on the inside of your RV. I've been in RVs before, but I bet they've changed. And if you got a bedroom and all that in there, let's find out more about what they look like. Gary Collins with us off the grid. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls. Definitely call us if you live off the grid or if you've been in an RV and tell me what life is like. George Norrie back with you. Gary Collins with us, author of Going Off the Grid. And we'll take your calls next hour with him. Kind of describe your RV to us, Gary, if you would, on the inside.
Absolutely. Like I said previously, they're very nice now. The latest one I have is a 2016 24-footer. And if people are interested, you can go online. It's a Nash 24M. I don't get anything from these people. I found it on my own. And you can see the inside, but it has everything. Like I said, it has a full functioning bathroom with a toilet, sink, stand-up shower, kitchen with a gas stove, microwave, kitchen sink, and also an oven, small oven. I have a couch, I have a dining area, and I have a small bedroom with a queen-size bed.
Air conditioning?
Phenomenal air conditioning. Air conditioning, heating.
How do you heat it?
It's basically just a normal gas, propane heating like you'd have in your house. It's kind of a centralized heat made for travel trailer.
Now, do you pull it or drive it?
I pull it. I have a travel trailer, an RV, recreational vehicle. I'm riding this stuff today, actually. You know, there's Class A, Class B, Class C, and then travel trailers and fifth wheels, and they're all different. And
well, when you say travel trailer, that means something you pull.
We call it a tow behind.
Okay.
A fifth wheel has that gooseneck that sits into your bed.
See, I'm learning everything.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm writing a book on this stuff. Is there's a bazillion questions I get, and I understand. I have the one you tow behind that goes on a tow hitch. They're a little more difficult to tow than a fifth wheel, but they're usually a lot smaller and easier to maneuver as far as parking and stuff. But, yeah, I just tow it behind my truck.
And yours, as you said, was a 24-footer?
Yeah. And that's kind of middle-of-the-road size. I would call it small, medium is the best size I would put it. They go up, you can get a travel trailer up 40 feet. I mean, they're huge.
Now, what did this unit cost you?
Okay, and that was a great question. I paid for this one $25,005, I believe, out the door.
Can't get a house for that kind of money,
well,
can you?
And I tell people, because they'll see my rig. And
they finance it, right? If you want it done.
Oh, yeah, you can finance it. It just like a normal automobile loan, it's the same thing.
How what kind of terms do you get in terms of length?
Oh, gosh, I paid mine off pretty quickly. I think I paid it off in less than a year.
That's fast.
Yeah, I'm.
But I mean, you get 10-year loans on these things?
Yeah, you sure can. Yeah, my bank. I called my bank. I got the loan while I was there. It was a piece of cake. Real easy to finance. And that's why I recommend people kind of dabble in that first, because the lifestyle is very similar to what if you want to live off the grid, and kind of you get to test it out for a low cost. But the truck I have a 1-ton diesel now. And I went through different evolutions of trucks, too, trying to figure out what works best. You don't necessarily have to have a 1-ton diesel, but I would recommend it.
That's a pretty good size.
But for the two combined with everything was less than $80,000. And I bought these brand new.
Does that have four tires in the back, two?
Oh, no. The travel trailer is a double axle.
Double.
So there's four tires. Yeah, it's a double axle trailer, but I don't have a dually truck.
You do not.
Okay. You do not need that. They do tow better, but you only need those if you're towing a big fifth wheel usually.
Well, let me ask you this thing, Gary. Why go off the grid? Tell me the benefits of doing this as opposed to somebody living in their house, you know, paying their electric bill and doing their thing. Tell me why there's a benefit of going off the grid.
I would say just pure freedom. I mean, honestly, it's very hard to explain because everyone does it a little differently.
Could you do this if you had a couple kids and you were married?
It would make me do it even more.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And you'd cart the kids all over the place?
Oh, yeah. Well,
what would you do, homeschool them?
A lot of people homeschool. They really do. And the kids, I'll tell you what, the kids I run into that are homeschooled off the grid, for the most part, are some of the best behaved kids and smartest I've ever ran into.
And how long are you gone in the RV or the
trailer? Oh gosh, I live in it all year long because I've been building. So like I said, as I build, I'm still living in the travel trailer. So
what are you building?
Oh, my house.
Oh, you're building a house.
Oh, I live two different lifestyles. I live off the grid in a 20-acre property with a actual house.
Right.
And then the other part of the, when it gets cold, the other part of the season, I live in my travel trailer and take off and head down south. Kind of like a snowbird.
Okay. Does somebody watch the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also have cameras and I have a security system that I wrote the book about because that was quite a challenge.
I'm a concealed weapons permit holder. I assume you are armed?
Yes.
Okay.
I am armed all the time.
All right.
Well, I shouldn't say all the time. I'm in California now. I gotta be careful.
Yeah. You can't carry in California.
No, and that's, you know, you know California, obviously. It's goofy land, and that's one of the reasons I left. I love it here. My family's here. I was raised here, but it's gotten too crazy. I have a concealed carry permit for 32 states, but of course California won't give me one.
Right. You have reciprocity.
Yeah, I have to live here. And they've told me, even as a former federal law enforcement agent, you know, they will not. They're like, no, you have to live here and you have to have a California driver's license.
What do you carry when you're not in California?
Well, it depends. If I'm at the property, I have a 45 that I carry because where I live, there are bear and moose. There's big animals and you're out alone. I'm out alone.
Well, that's a big pistol.
It is. But if if you carry a 9, and then I carry a 42, but the 9, if you, a bear, it'll bounce off their skull, literally bounce right off it.
A 9 millimeter would not penetrate?
It will penetrate if you hit it in the right spot, but if
and you would only shoot it if it was attacking you.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm a hunter, fisher, but I'm a steward of the land and the animals. I don't kill anything I don't eat. And that's been a rule all my life. So it's more, you'd carry it for protection. It's, you just don't know. Moose are mean. You catch a moose at the wrong time or scare them, they will attack and kill you. I mean, they're brutal. And people don't realize that.
Yeah. Now, do you eat roadkill?
I do not. I do not do that. I know people who do.
Really?
But what's happened too is it's actually illegal to do that.
Grab that turtle walking across the road.
In most states, it's illegal to eat and take roadkill, to include my state.
Is that for health reasons?
It's not only for health reasons, but people have gotten wise over the years, and they would hit them on purpose.
What's the strangest thing you've seen on the road? Have you seen Bigfoot?
Oh, I wish. I believe
I do, too. On this show, you'd be perfect for that.
I'll tell you what. I believe in it. I do not want to see Bigfoot, just in case Bigfoot is mean and doesn't particularly like humans. So that could be a bad confrontation.
Ever see any UFOs out there?
Oh, gosh. You know, I grew up, you know where Lone Pine is?
Yeah.
That's where I grew up. That's where I'm from. And I used to sit on my roof of our little single-wide trailer in Port Town, and I would just look at the stars. And I've definitely seen some interesting things in the sky.
You lived in a little trailer as a kid?
Mobile home, yeah.
Well, you're conditioned then.
Oh, I grew up poor as dirt, George. I was the first kid to go to college in my family.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, the being poor and losing everything really doesn't affect me. I'd rather be happy is where I'm at in life now, and that's why the off-the-grid lifestyle really offers a lot of things that I would say we're just overwhelmed, is the best way to put it. Society is just overwhelming. We're bombarded with nothing but information, marketing, the work week. Everything's just too much. And off-the-grid, if you can do it, I'm sure as your friend has said, it's just, you're just peaceful.
Well, he loves it.
Yeah, you go, what was I thinking?
I mean, I was in shock because I would never guess that this guy would be that kind of character to be able to have that kind of mindset to do that. I mean, he was corporate all the time.
I run into
He was a banker.
Types. All types. I mean, I'm actually fairly surprised at the variety of people who are, because it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Anarchist, it doesn't matter. We're all out there doing this.
Are you aware of technological changes, and do you, get them too? I mean, do you have a smartphone and stuff like that?
I do. And the reason is I'm a little different, and people kind of will give me a little hard time because they always go, you're not really living off the grid. You got internet, and you got your whole stuff. I go, well, I run a business. I still need to pay bills. And you have to make that kind of choice. And that's where I talked about and brought up the homesteading. Homesteading is not living off the grid. Living off the grid is not homesteading. They're two separate issues that you can do. Homesteading is using a piece of land to be more self-reliant, where you raise animals, you
grow your vegetables, all that stuff.
It's a small ecosystem, basically self-supporting ecosystem.
I assume you will go to a store, right?
I do, because I haven't had the time to get any greenhouses up. I cannot grow anything up there because I have so much deer and elk. They'll literally just strip everything. So I have to have greenhouses and protect the food that I grow.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's different for everyone. But, yeah, it's just the freedom of it. I can't explain it. Like I said, you have to experience it. And you just kind of go, you take a deep breath and everything kind of goes away. It's quiet. All I hear are birds and chipmunks.
Do you wake up whenever you want? Go to bed whenever you want?
I actually, my sleep cycle is kind of based upon sundown, sun up. I wake up with the sun. I do it naturally. I try and, if you don't know, I'm a big health guy. My first three books were on primal health.
Yep, they sure are.
So I try and use...
you even have a recipe book here.
I'm an interesting guy. I have a lot of passions, but I always tell people, in order to be truly free and to pursue a more simplistic lifestyle, you have to start with your health. Everything is based upon your health.
Oh, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Yeah,
we are proponents of that. We do a couple health shows a month. People need to be able to take care of themselves. If you're sick, you can't help the people you love. That's what I always think.
Well, not only that, if you're looking for more of an off-the-grid or remote, just living more remote, if you're, 100 pounds overweight and you're on 5 medications, well, you can't live farther than 5 miles from the hospital or local clinic.
Yeah, you have to stay close.
Yeah, you're not truly free. And working within the system myself and seeing how the health system really works, I tell people, there's no money in being healthy.
Gary, what happens if there's civil unrest or if there's a war with North Korea?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the people like you who are off the grid?
That's a really good question. I noticed that it doesn't affect us as much. I say that because we may not even know it happened, depending what we're doing. I try and keep up on the news. I get my daily dose, but in very short bursts. And
do you have a computer in the trailer?
Yes.
You do.
I have an all-in-one laser printer hooked up in there. I run my whole business from my travel trailer.
Okay.
I run everything. And I've kind of proven through the entrepreneurship, and there's a lot of us, but you have to be at least technology savvy.
But I mean, if there is an EMP attack that in the atmosphere that shuts down the power grid, you're okay because you're off the grid. The only thing that would possibly affect you if you're with the travel trailer is if there are gasoline shortages and you can't drive around.
Yeah, and I always have, I keep a couple containers of gas with me. I travel with them.
You put them in the back of the truck?
I do, and that's the better part. This is the first diesel truck I've had, but by towing, it gets such better gas mileage. I can drive even towing for about 4 hours.
Before you have to fill up?
Before I have to fill up. So I can get quite a ways away or get, at least remove myself far enough from the...
I mean, we have a client, I'm going to mention him next hour, who deals with storable food stores for 25 years.
Yes.
You should have stuff like that in your RV.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big proponent of that too, because I'm in the survivalist slash.
Would you call yourself a doomsday prepper?
No, I'm goofy in this way. I don't like to label myself ever. Try not to.
Right.
But if you were to categorize what I do, it's life simplicity, but with a survivalist, self-reliant mindset with prepping. I don't like to be just one thing because they're all a little bit different.
What is out there that you don't like about going off the grid? Is there anything?
Not really. It's just hard work. is what I tell people.
Do you ever get frustrated?
Oh yeah, because you're when you do it, there's, like I said, there's no roadmap. So everyone who goes about this life, because we all get together, I've met so many people now, we talk about how we did it and how we built our house, and everyone has a different plan. But with that being said, it's not a cookie cutter. You know, you can't just say, hey, I want this house in this neighborhood. It's like you show up and you go, okay, I got to figure it out. And so the hardest part is coming up with the plan and sticking with it and getting through, because you do not have financing. Off the grid, there is no, I have heard of one house that got financed in Wyoming somehow, and I don't know how. But there's no financing. You got to pay cash to build your house. And you can finance the land, but I don't recommend people do that. I've always paid cash for land. So it makes it more difficult, because you have to plan better, do a little bit, make sure you have a place to stay as you're building, because I've never met anyone who's built off the grid in 1 to 2 years. Never.
Is this a growing trend?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm meeting more and more people every day.
What's the age bracket generally?
I would say right now it's older. I'd say kind of my age, in that kind of late 40s, early 50s kind of group. But I'm seeing the younger people really start to gravitate towards it. But they're taking it in a little different direction. They like tiny homes, and that's kind of become trendy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the older people were more into the RVs and travel trailers. And I have chapters on that too, the differences. A tiny home is very different than a travel trailer. And they work differently. But it's mostly in that age bracket is where I'm seeing it. But it's getting younger and younger. I haven't ran into any 20s. Mostly, I'd say the youngest is 30s for the most part. I'm sure there's 20-year-olds. I just haven't ran into them.
But you love doing what you're doing.
Oh, I love it. At the very least, if people could take anything out of what I teach, it would be just more simplifying your life, taking some of that everyday stress out, and realizing that, you know, hey, we're only here for, you know, a set period of time. Don't stress out over the stupid stuff. I've been guilty of it. Heck, I worked in the government. I stressed out over stuff that I had absolutely no control over. And kind of living in that mindfulness and living in the moment and enjoying your life. And that's kind of what I teach in a roundabout way, and how the everyday person can do it. And that's what I kind of take pride in, that what I teach, I try and teach that anyone can do this. If I can do it, you can do it. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are.
Male, female?
Doesn't matter. I've ran into quite a few single females living the same lifestyle.
All right, stay with us. We're going to come back next hour with Gary Collins, and we're going to take phone calls. Gary's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and we're talking about his latest book. He's got several. This one is called Going Off the Grid. We'll be back.